T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia, the home of the Brendan Graham Show. Every Monday night, I am your host, John Marks. Besides me, the great Howard Eskin.
Hello.
Voice of your Philadelphia Eagles, Mr. Merrill Reese. Hello, Merrill.
Hi, how are you?
And the star of the show coming off another close one, but the defense got it done again yesterday at Lincoln Financial Field. Your defensive end, BG, Brendan Graham. What's up, Brendan?
What's up, man?
Another close one, Merrill.
Well, you know what? It was a close one, but it's not unusual for the Eagles to be in a close game and find a way to win. This is a clutch team. There's a certain knack to winning games, and the Eagles have it. They have had it now for, actually, Doug instilled this, I think, when he first came in. And Brandon, I think everybody on this team believes that they're going to win this game. You could be down by 10 points. It doesn't matter. That inner belief exists.
Yeah, and you got to play for 60 minutes. That's what he talked about from the beginning when he first got up there and talked to us. You know, it's a 60-minute fight, you know, and you got to go out there and you got to play hard every play. And I think we play into his personality. And, you know, it feels good because, I mean, when you got a team like that, man, it's scary.
Is there anyone specifically in that huddle when you're in those situations that obviously might say something, or do you just know what your job is? And what is the conversation like when you're in those situations?
Well, you got the DBs talking to each other, especially, you know, red zone situation. Hey, you know, this is what you remember this, like refreshing memories just in case you know, people out there talking, linebackers talking to each other, D-line going over corrections, and then we all kind of just, once we know we about to go out there, we kind of huddle up in a group and, you know, just encourage each other, and then we go out there and then we just play.
Your performance in the red zone, the defense performance in the red zone has been just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, you know, and we pride ourselves on being a good red zone defense, or a good defense, period. And, you know, for us to not let people score, you know, it's been the best. It's been the best feeling because, you know, I mean, people going to make plays because they get paid too. But, you know, we got to make sure that we don't let them in the end zone. And, you know, it hasn't happened. And, you know, for us, I think, I mean, it's going to continue because we're going to keep working hard and keep competing and keep making each other better.
It's startling how unsuccessful teams have been running the football against you. I mean, there was one 33-yard scramble by Andrew Luck yesterday, but as far as the backs were concerned, they didn't total 40 yards.
Yeah, I mean, and that's another thing we always talk about. We got to stop the run because we can't have people out here having a balanced offense, you know, because it's going to be a long day for us. So I think our first priority is stopping the run, and then everything else just kind of follows suit.
Was there any surprise when you saw the backup quarterback come in for the last play for the Hail Mary?
Yeah, I was kind of confused for a second, but then I seen the copy, and they was talking about how he's not able to throw it that far just yet, you know. So I think, you know, I knew it was the last play, but I thought he got hurt or something. I thought something happened.
You know, it's amazing. I think teams will now look and say, well, this guy can't really throw it that deep, so your defense is now against them. Might not worry about the really deep pass.
Yeah, but you know, those...
He didn't really throw anything that long yesterday.
Yeah, no, he was getting rid of the ball yesterday, and, you know, they wanted to manage the game. I mean, we know that because that's what we do.
You know, but the strangest thing was when they got that one last possession. When they got that one last possession after the Cameron Johnston punt, they were throwing 3-yard passes and running out of bounds, or 5-yard passes and running out of bounds. They just about got close to midfield. I mean, they had to throw it 65 yards in the air. They weren't, usually if you have a quarterback, a normal NFL quarterback, he's going downfield – at least 20, 25 yards per pass in a situation like that. But for some reason, they weren't able to do it. And, you know, the average bomb is really only in the air about 25 to 30 yards.
Yeah.
It's not like quarterbacks go downfield 65 yards very often.
Yep, and you're right. I think Andrew's going to get healthy and, you know, be able to throw it far, but that did kind of confuse me a little bit.
Were you in a defense to prevent, you know, Merle thinks it's that easy to go 20, 25 yards. Were you in a defense mid-range and then deep to try to prevent those big chunks? You would give him everything underneath, but were you in some kind of defense that would prevent him from getting 20, 25-yard passes?
We ran the same defense. We try to just master being us, you know what I'm saying, being the best us and just reading our keys. And I think we knew the ball was going to be out. I knew that that we like to manage the game and don't get behind the chain. So I know that the ball was coming out fast because Chris Schwartz told us. And so I think, you know, we just went in there believing it and trusting it and running our calls. We didn't really change too much. We just knew what was coming, you know what I'm saying, and we knew the ball was coming out.
Yeah, but that wasn't even a two-minute drill. That was a minute drill.
Yeah.
And you can't afford to gain 3 yards at a time. I'm not saying it's that easy, but I'm saying I've seen teams do it late in the game and go downfield. You watch Aaron Rodgers run one of those drives, and he gets you 15 yards here, and he gets you 20 here, there, and they step
Aaron
out of
Rodgers.
Bounds.
That's Aaron Rodgers.
Well, hey, at one point, Andrew Luck was considered an elite quarterback. He's the first player taken in the draft.
But he's not that quarterback anymore.
Well, he wasn't yesterday.
No, right.
But this is his first year, the first three games back after missing an entire season. Who knows when he's going to become that quarterback again, or if he's going to become that quarterback again.
I would take Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, well, but you're right, Merrill. He was that guy. He was the best prospect since Peyton Manning to come out of the draft.
Wait a minute. Yesterday, Aaron Rodgers was not Aaron Rodgers in Washington because he couldn't move.
He's got a bad knee or a bad leg.
When he's not healthy, he doesn't play. He'll have one game. He can get back in the way he did when he was hurt initially and then came back and ran that last drive and won the game. But you've got to be healthy to play. When a quarterback who uses his mobility the way Carson Wentz does, the way Aaron Rodgers does, the way other quarterbacks with legs who can really move do, you take that away from them and you make them one-dimensional.
Yeah, you do. I think, you know, you got to be healthy playing this game. I mean, you got people that's really good, you know, at doing good things like Aaron Rodgers last week. You know, you seen him come back. Well, against the Bears, he come back and win the game, you know, and he's hurt. But, you know, that stuff tend to catch up with you, you know, somewhere, you know, in there. And I think he's trying to get healthy as fast as he can. But, you know, every week it's hard because you got another game and you don't have that much time.
What, if anything, did Carson Wentz do as far as energy for the team, and that includes the defense? And I know defensive guys kind of sit down and get ready for the next series. But how many guys were watching to see what Carson did on that first series, too?
Oh, everybody was watching, you know. Everybody. It started when he first walked out there. You heard the crowd go crazy. You know, it felt good. It gave us energy, you know, to see that. And everybody was tuned in. And the first play, he missed. I forgot who he missed. But, you know, after that, he was on, you know. And I feel good for him because I know how it is coming off injury. And now, you know, playing, and you got to get your rhythm back. And it looks like he's not that far off. It's just, you know, I'm glad he got hit a little bit, too, because, you know, that gets out of your head even more as you continue to keep getting hit. Hopefully it's not a lot, but, you know, just enough to get it off his mind.
You know, Brandon, there are so many good things to say about Doug Peterson. He did an amazing job last year. He has the confidence of everybody on this team. But one of the really nice things about Doug, and you can't say this about a lot of coaches, is that he's very forthright when he speaks to the media. And because when he speaks to the media, he is in essence communicating with the fans. And he was up front when he said, when Carson Wentz goes back, he will have the entire repertoire. We're not going to handle him gently. We're not going to say, don't run. Don't do the things. You be Carson Wentz. And when he went out there yesterday, you saw him dive. You saw him slide. You saw him power his way forward. He was the Carson Wentz we saw in December in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I'm happy that he's back because he did look good yesterday, and it's only going to get better as he continue to keep playing.
Yeah, even did the spin move out of the pocket.
Yeah.
To elude a sack, and I guess that was the play where he dove for the first down where, I mean, you see the difference in Nick won the Super Bowl, obviously, and Nick's a great quarterback. Carson just has that different dynamic, Brandon. I'm sure as a defensive player, when you go up against a guy like that, you know coming in that you just don't have to worry about him passing. You have to worry about the other stuff too.
Yeah, you gotta stay rushing, you know, as a defensive lineman, because you know he's gonna move anywhere in the pocket, wherever he sees a hole, he's gonna go there, and you gotta make sure that you swarm him collectively, up front.
You know, the interesting thing about that, Brandon, is that the biggest play they made was Andrew Luck getting out of the pocket and running for 33 yards.
Yeah.
What happened on a play like that?
We blitzed, and he found a hole, and then he took off. You know, he trusted himself, and he took off and, broke a tackle because I think Chris Long was right there, and then he was up the sideline. He made a good play. We knew he could run. I mean, that's one thing we know for sure, that he's not lacking, as far as, his speed. And then it happens. He made a good play.
You know, he had less than 100 yards deep into the fourth quarter passing. Somebody must have been doing something right. What was it that you did, even though he gets the ball and it's short passes, but less than 100 yards deep into the fourth quarter is pretty darn good.
Yeah, and that's a credit to our tackling. We tackle well because when you're throwing them short routes, you're depending on your players to make plays, and make somebody miss. And that's just a credit to us tackling good, and we just got to keep that up.
Brandon, I have to ask you this. One of the key plays to this entire game was a penalty called on the Colts, and it was a penalty called for holding. Defensive holding, which we've seen a lot on receivers or tight ends, but this was holding against the hold was on Lane Johnson. It was against the Colts for holding Lane Johnson. And Mike Quick was looking on every other play and said Lane was really complaining to the officials. And I think Doug notified the officials when they had their meeting that Lane Johnson was that their defensive end tends to hold. Offensive lineman. Have you ever been called for not for just holding, but for holding an offensive lineman?
No, but we know
it's unusual.
We do know that that they will call it. That's why we don't do that anymore. Like Washburn was the first person that I ever had a teacher who taught that grabbing them, and sometimes you can get away with it. Depends on
that was Jim Washburn under Andy Reid.
Yeah, grabbing while the tackle come around and shortens the edge for him so he can get to the quarterback faster without him having to kick out.
So he wanted you to do that.
Yeah, I mean, because it wasn't a penalty. People wasn't calling that too much, but now they got their eyes on it a lot more. And, now they're calling it, so we don't even do it anymore.
Brandon, can you explain to people, you can grab, if you grab up at the shoulder pads, you can grab inside his shoulders. Well, I talked to Lane briefly after the game, they grabbed him underneath his arm and the side, pulling away to let the rusher come in.
And he also had a hold of another guy, too.
Yeah. But the penalty, explain the rule to the people. People can't see us now. I can grab you inside your shoulders, up by your shoulder pads, and grab as a defensive lineman.
So usually it's an offensive lineman.
Wait, let me. But you can't grab below. Is that the way the rules explain to you?
Well, you can't restrict him from getting out. Like when he's trying to fight back to get outside, you can't. You got to let him go. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it might be you might grab him, hold him, but you got to let him go once he get outside of, like, trying to reach outside to get the man. You got to let him go. You can't restrict him from getting out there. But you can hold him. You can get on him. But when he's going out, that's just like we're holding. When you see people coming around the edge, if you see a guy trying to throw his arm out to make a tackle, but you can see that you're pulling him in, that's where the holding get called.
Give Doug Peterson some credit, because when Lane came over to tell Doug, Doug doesn't berate officials. He talked to them after your score, and then they kept an eye on it. So give credit to Doug to make him aware without getting crazy about the whole thing.
Yeah, and that's big because, like you say, they missed that a lot, you know. And so
until he
pointed it out. And that's, I mean, everything works together, man. Everything that happens on that sideline, boy, sometimes you don't know until after the game, man. You know, you're thankful for that moment.
Now, Brandon Graham Show live from Chickens and Pete's in South Philadelphia. Coming up, Howard will give us the latest on the injured Eagles players. Also, a lot of news from around the league today, Merrill, with new starting quarterbacks and diagnosis for Jimmy Garoppolo coming down with an ACL injury. We will discuss all of the things with Brandon Graham of your 2-1 Philadelphia Eagles. We're back with Chickens and Pete's in South Philly. It's the Brandon Graham Show. All right, we're back. Brandon Graham Show live from Chickies in South Philadelphia. Jam-packed Chickies and Pete's, but there's always room for you on a Monday night. I am your host, John Marks, with Merrill Reese, Howard Eskin, and the one and only Brandon Graham Eagles at 2-1.
One and only.
The one and only. BG is his name, and they come. You looked relaxed today. Did you get out of the game yesterday relatively healthy? Feeling good today?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I feel good. You know, just was a little tired today because yesterday I really didn't get a chance to go to bed early, you know, like I would like to. But, you know, I had family in.
Got screaming kids?
You know how that go, family in, screaming kid, and then got to put her up before I even go down. But it was cool, though. It was cool. Definitely the wind made it worth it.
What about the rain? What about the field conditions and everything? I mean, it didn't look like it was really – I feel like, Howard, it affected the fans more than it affected the players, but what was it like out there?
You know, that field is – and Brandon would know better than – or the players would know. That field is in pretty good shape. It drains really well. I didn't see anybody really slip, and traction was good. Now, it rained in Washington, and that field sucks. So that's dangerous. But, no, I didn't see anything. I mean, I got wet. The players got wet, but that's part of the game. Merrill stayed dry except whined about halftime coming down.
I just mentioned that it was a cold, steady rain.
Yeah, well, he was here for halftime.
Howard is made for this because he's half duck.
Yeah. He is.
So anyway, it's just that didn't affect anybody, and luckily no injuries because of the weather conditions. I talked to Doug before the game. I says, Doug, do you back off at all with Carson Wentz because of the conditions? He says, No, that's what he said. And that was a report we did to open the game. Not a little bit. Full steam ahead. That's what you got to do. Yeah. You can't baby it. You just got to play the game the way you play the game. Now, before we get the other stuff, and let me impose on all you guys, there's a little girl that she's 13 years old, that I met at training camp that the president of the Eagles, Don Smolinski, introduced me to, and I'm so glad he did. Mm-hmm. She's got cancer. Her name is McKenna. She's fighting she's so tough. And she watched and listened to the game yesterday. She's a big Eagles fan. It embraces me to think about how tough she is to fight. And it's not been easy the last couple of weeks. She was in Children's Hospital for her birthday. So I want to give a shout out to McKenna. She's got a Twitter address, Fight On McKenna. Stay strong. McKenna Strong. Fight On McKenna is her Twitter address. But shout out. And I know, Brandon, that I'm sorry you didn't meet her. You would have enjoyed watching her being as tough as she is.
Yeah, you know, when you was telling me about her, it was just like, man, I can only imagine what's going on through her mind. But she need like people around her that's going to tell her to keep fighting. And that's what I would tell her to keep fighting, you know, and stay strong and keep believing in it, believing that you're going to defeat it.
Yep. Fight on, McKenna. And that's my and just keep on fighting. And that's
McKenna.
The message.
Hi, McKenna. We're thinking of you.
Yes. Thank you, Howard. That is, Brandon's got a little girl. I got two little girls at home, and from our perspective, you couldn't even imagine.
Yeah.
Right?
Man,
couldn't even imagine.
That's
so tough. Well, keep us updated on her, Howard. I'm sure she's gonna fight right through it right there. Brandon, let me ask you about it. So news comes out, obviously, the day after the game's on Mondays, and we had Jimmy Garoppolo. He has a torn ACL, and he's going to be gone for the rest of the season. you have Josh Rosen being named the starting quarterback of the Cardinals. And then you have a defensive end from the Dolphins, William Hayes, that tore his ACL. Now, he tore his ACL, and everybody knows about this, these penalties that are coming down because defensive ends, linebackers, everybody's trying to avoid getting a 15-yard penalty for roughing the passer and putting their weight on him. He intentionally, you could tell, was trying not to put his body weight on him, kind of pulled up on Derek Carr, ended up getting his foot caught, and he tore his ACL. I know you've seen the player. You know what I'm talking about right there. You had said last week when we talked about it, you're actually thinking while you're on the field now about this stuff as you're coming in for almost a hit, right? These are things that you're – it's hard to just play the game anymore to where you have to worry about all this other stuff because you don't want to hurt your team with a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, you tend to slow down as you get closer so that you won't – you know, because sometimes we come in and, you know, it's naturally – I mean, for us to get people down, we just naturally have to thrust them and kind of push them or, you know, pull them down. And sometimes it's some people that's not strong enough to be able to, like, the blow look worse than what it really is, you know, sometimes. And I think, you talk to get them down. And it's hard, man. Like, it sucked that he had to back down and tore his ACL. Man, I'm just going to keep going full steam and, you know, just try to adjust as I go. But, you know, it's hard to try to think, you know, out there when you got to be full steam ahead. When they say go, man, the adrenaline rush that you get from every play, I mean, you don't have time to really be sitting back and thinking.
Brandon, I'm as much for safety and making the game safer as anybody else. However, I have to be honest with you. When I look at the replays of the Clay Matthews tackles on quarterbacks that drew the flag, to me, I just don't think it's right. I think those were textbook tackles. I don't think they were purposely vicious. There was no helmet involved.
Right. And then, you know, we're not going to go out there and try to, you know, get sacks taken away from us. Like, you know, and that ain't, I mean, it's hard. That's why he did exactly what he did on trying to avoid, you know, landing on them because they taking sacks away. And you know how hard it is to get sacks, you know, in this league. So, you know, I mean, it's tough, man. It's a tough spot for us on the defensive line because, you know, it's you got to really watch yourself because you don't want to get these sacks taken away from you because you know how precious they are.
You know, and he was penalized not for helmet to helmet, but he was penalized because he drove him. They said
Clay Matthews
that he let his body weight go on him and drove him into the ground. That's why. And that's a penalty.
Yeah.
You know, just tackle the guy. I mean, and I guess it's okay.
I know. But sometimes when you come in full speed and then you hit him, you know, some people can absorb the hit, like, and so it don't look as bad when they're going down. But some people can, you can just kind of run over them. You know what I'm saying? And it just happened like that.
Do you feel he drove him into the ground? I think that was the penalty.
I really don't think so. I just think that he was, like, trying to get him down.
I didn't think it was excessive.
Yeah.
I think you can see the plays, Merrill, to your point, that are he's intentionally driving the quarterback into the ground with intent to injure them. The problem is the NFL immediately came out on social media saying that is the definition of roughing the passer.
Yeah.
So they're not backing down and trying to clarify the rule. They're saying, no, that's a penalty.
Yeah, I heard Boomer Esiason on a commentary on WIP talk about the fact that here he is, a former quarterback, who looks out for his quarterback brethren, and yet when he watched that tackle, he said, that is exactly how you would teach people to tackle, to make that play.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, it's tough because it's a tough position to be in right now as a defensive end, defensive tackle, you know, D-line period. It's like, you know, you taught to make those type of fit tackles to get people down, and, you know, you just got to figure it out another way.
All right, Howard, so the couple guys missed games yesterday, Jay Ajayi and Darren Sproles. Doug said today he expects them back in practice this week. Is Darren maybe a little further along with the hamstring from Jay?
I think you got to be careful with the hamstring, especially with a player who's number one a running back and hit his age. And you want to make sure, hamstrings, you really want to make sure. Doug seemed to indicate that Jay Ajayi was going to play this week. That's the indication that I got. And then Darren Sproles still up in the air, and Alshon Jeffrey still will practice more, but that's kind of still up in the air. But I think if he doesn't play this week, he'll definitely play the following week. And the following week is against Minnesota, and you might need to score some points against them.
How did Buffalo score 27 points about against the great defense of the Minnesota Vikings?
Well, here's how they scored
it. Josh Allen.
With their defense, they got two strip sack fumbles that they got on Kirk Cousins. And talking to somebody from Buffalo yesterday, number one, Minnesota's offensive line has got some problems with injuries. And Kirk Cousins apparently leaves the ball exposed and he's vulnerable to a strip sack. You got the message there, Brandon?
Yeah. I think they know Kirk pretty well from the years in Washington, for sure. So, I mean, listen, Kirk can – I've seen games against you guys where he has looked really good, and I've seen other games where you get to him.
And then
things
change.
Isn't that the NFL? They were favored by mm-hmm. – Howard, they were favored by 16.5 points over the Bills. It's the biggest underdog to win in 30 years or something like that.
I'll give you the actual numbers. It's only happened four times.
Ever.
Ever with 16 or more. Since 1980, only three NFL teams have won outright as underdogs of more than 16 points. 92, the Colts, 16.5 over the Bills. 92, also the Jets, were plus 17 against the Bills. And 95 was the last time the Redskins were a 17.5 point underdog against the Cowboys and won the game. So it's happened three times since 80, and the last time was, 23 years ago?
Long time ago.
Yeah, it's a long time.
All right, one of the...
But, I mean, I think they scored because of their defense, but Minnesota must have just... They play, and they have another tough game coming up. They play the Rams Thursday night in L.A., so they could have been looking ahead to that game, too, and that could have been
played. Oh, I
guarantee
there's
no way Buffalo should beat them like that. No way.
No way. Howard, one other newsy note here. Le'Veon Bell, last week you said you would expect the Eagles to sign somebody by the following day. All of a sudden, Jordan Matthews was in the building and got signed, so I figure you had some inside info there. Any idea of how he's talking, Le'Veon Bell?
No.
The Steelers have put the word out there. They're taking offers. Any
well,
thoughts?
Well, but he's not going to sign unless you give him a mega, mega deal.
Well, you can't even give him a deal now. He would have to come. You could give him more money for the 1 year, but you can't sign him long term. So he may just say to you, well, I'll see you week 10.
Yeah, right. And that's what I think he's going to do.
Which kills his value.
And he's 30 years old. And, I think the Steelers' problems are multiple problems. They're turning the ball over. They're still scoring points. They're not getting it done as well defensively. They've got problems in that locker room. That's one thing that, Brandon, you guys did not have. You had no problem, no issues. You know, guys took, if there was, you took care of it. You can't have guys on a different page in that locker room. I would not take Le'Veon Bell because I don't think he would play, as John said, until probably week 10 because all he has to do to become a free agent is play six games.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. And then he's eligible for free agency after this year.
Oh, okay.
So he won't play till week 10.
Yep.
Man, that's crazy.
Brandon Graham Show live from Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. We'll come back. Merrill, we'll talk about an Eagles Hall of Famer who passed away today, Tommy McDonald. We'll get your thoughts on Tommy and Howard. I'm sure that you knew Tommy very well.
Yep.
That's on the other side. Also, Derek Barnett, pretty good game yesterday. Brandon, you'll tell us what the now second-year player is doing to rise up a little bit there as your starter on the other side. It's the Brandon Graham Show. We're live at Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. We'll be right back. Brandon Graham Show back live from Chickies and Pete's, as always brought to you by our friends at Miller Lite. Brandon Graham Show also brought to you by Hers. On game day, choose the snack of champions by grabbing a bag of new Hers mini pub-style pretzels. Grab a bag today. Well, Merrill and Howard and Brandon, Tommy McDonald passed away today at the age of 84. Merrill, I didn't realize it was 20 years ago that he went into the Hall of Fame, and I'll never forget because he had a boombox radio, yeah. And he fell on the stage, and he was dancing. And
I don't think he fell, but he jumped
almost
around.
Did. He threw his bust up in the air and caught it. It was one of the more memorable speeches
I've
seen.
Well, that was Tommy. Tommy McDonald was a very, very colorful character. He was a wide receiver who came out of Oklahoma, where he never lost a game. In 3 years, they won three national championships as undefeated teams. Came to the Eagles. He was a running back at the University of Oklahoma under the legendary Bud Wilkinson. Came to the Eagles, was put as a wide receiver, and immediately captured everybody's heart. He was funny off the field. He was crazy. He would do things. The quarterback, one of his quarterbacks, was the legendary Sonny Jurgensen, who went to the Redskins and became a Hall of Famer. There was a time the two of them did a television show called Jurgensen to McDonald, and they drove into town on the expressway, and Jurgensen had a station wagon, and Tommy climbed on the roof and grabbed a hold of both sides and drove down the expressway on his belly holding on to the top of a station wagon. So that was Tommy McDonald. The football memories I have of Tommy McDonald, and I was a kid, and I would sit in the end zone at Franklin Field, and no matter how big the defender was, when they hit him and they slammed him to the ground, he would pop up as if he hadn't even been hit, and he would try to frustrate them and get into their faces. But he was a marvelous receiver. He made acrobatic catches, and he deservingly went to the Hall of Fame. But a wonderful guy. There are old players, players from that generation, who would resent the players of today who make the big money, who, if they use it wisely, can make it last for the rest of their lives. In those days, Brandon, most NFL players had to have off-season jobs to support their families. But Tommy, even as he grew old, never resented you guys. He loved the young players. He was happy for their good fortune. He rooted for you, and he was always in the greatest frame of mind, great sense of humor. And I think anybody who ever knew Tommy McDonald or met him went away feeling good that they had met a very, very special person and a wonderful athlete, great human being, and he will last in our memory for the rest of our lives.
He was one of my childhood idols, because I remember the 60 championship game, which is the first football game I ever went to, first pro football game at Franklin Field. And I remember him scoring the touchdown in the corner of the end zone on the south side, that corner. And I remember the pop, this guy, they had people roped off. Popcorn goes flying up in the air from the popcorn guys. He runs into the crowd. And
yeah, but he slid into a snowbank. There was a snowbank in that corner.
It snowed a couple days before.
It was the day after Christmas, December 26th, 1960.
You know, I did a radio, this kind of radio show I did with Tommy 1 year, and he had a worry, not worry, but it was interesting what he would say, because he would say anything.
He was kind of shot out of the cannon, just smile, excited.
Great guy.
Nice
always
guy.
Always happy.
I saw him actually. I actually saw him play a tennis match at a promotion of the Philadelphia Freedoms. It was Tommy McDonald against Elton John.
Who won?
I don't remember.
Probably
that.
Tommy, right?
I think it was Tommy
win,
and he leaped over the net.
Only 5'7" too, so he was.
No, he was bigger than that.
Really?
Yeah, he was about 5'9", 175.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, but yeah, touchdown reception in the championship game, Brandon. So Tommy, rest in peace, obviously. The Eagles family, thoughts and prayers to his family right there. Now, yesterday, Seth and Clyde get into the Eagles Hall of Fame. Seth Joyner and Clyde Simmons from, a great defense that preceded you by, I guess, 20, 30 years, Merrill. But that was my defense growing up, was Clyde and Reggie and Mike Pitts and Jerome and Seth and whoever else. But, yeah, I mean, it was good to see them go in, Merrill, together yesterday, and Clyde and Seth.
Yeah, late-round draft choices. And Clyde was an 11th-round draft choice. By the way, he is now the defensive line coach of the Cleveland Browns.
Clyde Simmons?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Did not know that.
Why they scheduled this weekend, because the Browns played on Thursday night.
So he could come.
Yeah, so he could come.
There you go. Brandon, Seth, you had interactions with Seth. I'm sure you've seen him around, but
yep.
In their day, in the late 80s, early 90s, you're talking about some of the best defensive players in the league.
Yeah, you know, and they played fast, you know, and they were strong. They definitely were strong.
Aggressive. And, Merrill, they used to wear the black shoes for big games or playoff games or They looked faster with the black shoes. It gave them a little bit of attitude.
I thought the reason they went to the white shoes was because they made them look faster.
What was the best defense? Howard, what was the best defense from that era because Mike Golic came along later to replace Mike Pitts, and then
the best defense, and Howard, you can give your view, but the best defense, in my opinion, was after Buddy left.
Bud Carson.
It was Bud Carson's defense. That was, I think it was 91. They were first against the run, first against the pass, and first overall.
They had some good the one year, and they lost in the playoffs under Buddy Ryan all the time. But they had a really, really good defense, and Seth and Clyde were on that team. But I forget which year that Reggie White, I forget which year was his year. But he was the best defensive lineman that I've ever seen for the Eagles.
Well, the strike year of 87, didn't he have 21 sacks in 12 games? Or
couldn't have had that many.
Something crazy like that. Well, maybe it wasn't 21, but it was close.
Yeah, it was close. He was unbelievable. Unbelievable. What? Seth, by the way, did Seth smile yesterday? He never smiles. Did he smile?
Post-game show he didn't. He was angry on the post-game show. I know that.
You know, when you see Seth, you like him so much, and he's such a great guy that even if he's frowning, you think he's smiling. That's Seth. Seth is a great guy.
I had a Twitter fight with him last week.
Yeah, you did. Right. What was that about?
A Twitter fight with everybody.
In 1987, Reggie Wood had 21 sacks in 12 games.
Really?
He had 18 the following year.
He broke. What did Strahan?
22.
He broke Gastineau.
He broke Reggie White's record, right?
It was Gastineau, I believe.
Oh, okay.
He had double-digit sacks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,
12
8,
games?
9 straight
games,
seasons.
That's crazy.
But I have to tell you, the Strahan thing still bothers me because if you remember it, he broke through the Packers' offensive line and Brett Favre.
He gave it to him.
He fell down.
He let him go into his arms, and he hugged him down and gave him the sack record. And I just, as much as I like Brett Favre, and I do like Brett Favre, that bothered me.
Yeah. Bothered me. I like Michael Strahan, and it bothered me, too.
I mean, he worked hard to get there, but you ain't making work for that last one.
Yep. Right.
Yeah.
And Howard brought up Buddy Ryan. Brandon, you know Buddy. Did you see him around at all, or was it a little bit too late since you've been with the Eagles?
Too late.
Howard with Buddy Ryan was Howard with, who are you like this with in Philadelphia? He was Buddy's worst enemy.
Yeah, we ripped each other on our radio show.
You should have seen him.
Like that.
Yeah.
Oh, it was worse than you can even imagine.
He was clueless as a head coach. Really good defensive coordinator, but totally, totally clueless as a head coach.
He called Howard the chipmunk.
No, he called me a gerbil. He called me a gerbil.
Oh, a gerbil.
I thought it was a chipmunk.
Both work.
Boy, I know that was funny.
What year was this, 86?
86, 87, 88?
89, 90?
Totally.
You just say Howard.
And I'll bet you Kotite was the genius with Howard, right?
No,
you probably like Kotite.
No, Kotite complained about the plays running on his shot chart. And
it was laminated. Yeah.
It was laminated.
It got wet.
It's like that bozo in Detroit who won last night,
because
the Patriots have lost 3 of the last 4 games, including the Super Bowl, putting a pencil in his ear, and even for his post-game news conference, I want a half a pound of potato salad and a half a pound of corned beef. He looks like he's working in a deli. What does he need a pencil for with a laminated sheet?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, the reason is because Belichick has a pencil in his ear.
Right.
Belichick doesn't have a pencil.
Yes, he does.
He does. He does?
Yes. It's a pencil.
He's a dope,
it
too.
It is.
Yeah, that dope has won 5 Super Bowls.
Tom Brady
years.
Has won. No, wrong, Merrill. The Patriots have won 3. Atlanta lost 1. And Seattle lost 1. Because Pete Carroll ain't brain dead, and the same thing with Kyle Shanahan as the offensive coordinator.
Okay, you changed the record books.
Exactly. All right, Brandon.
They lost 3 of their last 4. That's
they
all
have.
I know.
So coming up Sunday, road game, Tennessee. They grinded it out, beat Jacksonville this week.
Yeah.
Mariota, he came in because Blaine Gabbert got hurt. He wasn't 100%. So there's a problem with the elbow and how he grips the ball. I don't know if he's starting or not. Maybe, but. Talk about the Titans for a second and what their offense and what Mariota, what they bring to the table.
Well, you know, I really haven't had a chance to really look at them yet, but I know from what I've seen them, you know, in games, you know, they got a good defense. You know, we got to match the intensity, And the offense is pretty good, too. I mean, they got two backs. You know, we had Deion Lewis. I know what he's about. And then they got Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, he's a big boy. We got to make sure that we don't let him get downhill on us. So, I mean, we got our hands full this week.
Yeah, you do. We saw it again yesterday. You guys, defense at home is unbelievable. I guess you give the shout-out to the fans. You guys are comfortable there. Going on the road, is it tangible? Is it something you can put your finger on, why you guys are so comfortable at home?
I mean, all you got to do is go in there and hear it. You know what I'm saying? You can hear it. And that energy is all through that stadium. So, I mean, just keep it going. You know, just keep it loud.
Derek Barnett had a big play yesterday, and he's taking a step in the second year.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're a mentor to him. What have you seen from him and what he accomplished over the offseason? How big is the going from the rookie year to the second year as far as the developmental standpoint?
I think for him, he did the right thing as far as, you know, working out. I mean, doing really good with his off-season training, because it's the first time you really get to have a real off-season, you know, where it's on you, you know, to create your schedule and come up with what you're going to do. And I think he did a great job with just coming in, looking right. And then now I feel like he's at that point now where he can flush it to the next play, because sometimes as a rookie, you got all this pressure, especially as a first-rounder, because I know it's just like, man, I got to go out there and I got to make a play. I got to do this. I got to do that. And DB made plays last year, you know, made a strip sack in the Vikings game. That's a big game, you know, in the playoffs, you know, going to the Super Bowl, stuff like that. So he had a bunch of building tools that carried him over to this year, and I'm just happy for him.
Yeah, he definitely looks good. Marilyn Howard coming up. Obviously, 2-1, being that your starting quarterback was out for the first 2 weeks. I'd say the Eagles are in a pretty good spot as we head into Tennessee next week.
Well, it beats the heck out of 1-2.
That's for sure.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be an easy game. But, obviously, I think the Eagles are going to win. Can't look ahead to Minnesota. And I don't think the Eagles get caught up in some of that stuff. But it's an out-of-conference game, which sometimes you got to be careful. But the Eagles are the favorite. Not that makes any difference. You still got to go out and play the game.
Yep.
And win the game. Eagles are a 3.5-point favorite.
But Tennessee has a good coach. I like Matt Vrabel. He's been a guy who's been a defensive coordinator for a lot of years. He was a linebacker with the New England Patriots. He was the college roommate of Bobby Hoying at Ohio State. But he's become a very, very good coach, and he's done well. And I think he's going to do well.
Yeah. I mean, they made the playoffs and they got rid of their coach, so they're bringing a new coach. Now this is on the front office and the ownership of Tennessee. Brandon, yesterday did you see Jimmy G go down with the ACL again, a non-contact injury?
Yeah, I mean, it looked like he got chest bumped. Oh no, he did. He did step first before he got chest bumped out. But it sucked, man. Because I mean, one bad step, you know, that thing is gone. I know about it.
Yep. And Howard, his former teammate Sammy Sleeves, gets replaced in the fourth quarter. Sam Bradford and
they might release him.
Josh Rosen is the new starter for.
Yeah, which they should have done anyway. I mean, it's just play the young guys in today's NFL. Just get their development early. I think that's a good thing. And I think all the guys that were drafted, all the prime guys, are all starters now, right? Because Baker Mayfield will be a starter.
I still don't think it's a bad thing if you have an experienced quarterback to let that rookie sit for a while. I mean, Baker Mayfield still sat for a couple of weeks until he came in last week.
I think it depends on the quarterback, Merrill.
I still think the Giants would have done very well to draft somebody like Sam Darnold and let him sit for a year under Eli Manning. I do. I don't think it's a bad thing to do. Naturally, when you have the contracts that you do today, they can't sit for more than a year. But for a quarterback to understudy for a season or a half a season is not a bad thing.
Well, how did that did it hurt Carson Wentz?
No, it did not hurt Carson Wentz. But Carson Wentz was
the MVP
exception.
Of the league.
He was an exception. And Sam, that was last year when he was the MVP of the league.
But his first year, he got really good development.
And it was great. And he had the right coaches around him, and Doug Peterson and Frank Reich and John DeFilippo. The Eagles coaches are terrific now. But what I'm saying is, in most cases, it was designed for Carson Wentz to sit behind Sam Bradford. It was only the way everything ricocheted once Teddy Bridgewater went down and the Vikings gave the Eagles what they had to give them to get Sam Bradford.
Regardless of the way it happened, it was good.
But that's not the way it was going to happen. Well, that's, yeah, but that's not what the Eagles would have done.
But it's good that
it
did happen.
Yes, it worked out that way.
Yeah, Carson Wentz is a stud. The guy's a stud. I mean, it's just for him to do what he did yesterday and not even have just a glimmer of
he doesn't look
hesitation.
Like he was injured at all. No. He didn't look like he had an ACL injury 9 months ago. It's pretty amazing.
He wasn't worried about it. Yeah. I mean,
he wasn't.
Brandon, you have had injuries. Did you think about it when you came back from your injury?
Yeah, I did. You know, and that's why I didn't finish out the season that year when I was on the PUP, and then I came back. It was just like, yeah, give him a little more time.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for a Brandon Graham Show brought to you by Miller Lite. We have the Players Lounge hosted by Ike Reese. Lane Johnson's in the house tonight with Barrett Brooks. Brandon, good week of practice, man. Get the win on Sunday, and we'll talk to you next Monday, all right?
Better get the win, damn it.
We need it. You know we need it. All right, everybody. Players Lounge coming up next. We will talk to you next week. See you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.